Hello, NBA fans, and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chapa Baja. Last time we spoke was right after the NBA Finals, but the new season starts on Wednesday. Because of that, I wanted to do a quick two-part series. Today's part one. Part two will be up by Tuesday. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to talk about each conference and obviously each team in each conference. Today, I'm going to be doing the Eastern Conference. What I'm going to do when I talk about each team, I'm going to bring up their projected wins. And then I'm just going to talk about, you know, how the team looks, if, you know, the projected wins looks manageable, if it looks possible. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. So the Brooklyn Nets, they are projected at 56.5 wins. Now, obviously, if you guys have been keeping up with the news, they've been dealing with the Kyrie issues. He still has not taken the COVID vaccine. Because of that, he is not able to play home games or basically any games in New York. So like I said, home games and then any games against the New York Knicks. Now, because of that, that is going to be obviously a good chunk. He will be losing out on about $17 million if he does go through with this. Right now, the Nets are saying that he's just not eligible to participate until he complies and he gets the vaccine. So Kyrie Irving, he had a an Instagram Live. He went on there. He explained that, you know, he's doing this, you know, in solitude for, you know, all the people who have been forced to take the vaccine. But, you know, some of the people who did not agree to the vaccine, well, they lost their jobs. And so so Kyrie said that he is doing this and he wants to be the voice for the voiceless. So that is his standpoint on that. Like I said, $17 million he'd be losing out on. So this is obviously something that is, you know, really complicated, and it can really alter what the Nets are going to look like for the season. As of now, KD and Harden have been pretty supportive, I'd say, for Kyrie. They've said that it's his choice. They respect his choice. Also the Nets organization, they're in a little bit of a kerfuffle. Basically, because Kyrie has said that he does not want to be traded, and there were rumors out there that Kyrie said that if he was going to get traded, he was going to retire. Now, like I said, Kyrie was on an IG Live a couple days ago, and he did address that. He said that he does not plan on getting traded, but obviously, you know, he has to get this COVID thing resolved. So we're definitely going to keep an eye out on that. So we will see what happens there. Other things, I think that this is going to be a Kevin Durant possible MVP season. He's definitely one of the candidates, at least. We saw what he was doing at the end of the season. Well, at the end of the playoffs there against Giannis, he almost carried the Nets without Kyrie and with a James Harden who was, just not at 100%. I'd say he was almost playing at 20%, if even that. But he was more there for moral support. And I think that that was a big reason why the Nets were able to get a couple of those last wins there, because Harden did come on the floor. So he kind of brought up everyone's, like I said, moral support. The Nets also got some good acquisitions. I think the best acquisition that they got here in the offseason was Patty Mills, who, you know, if Kyrie is not able to play, Patty Mills is going to be a really good, you know, substitution for him. Obviously, Patty, he brings in shooting. He's a point guard. He can do a little bit of playmaking. So even if Kyrie isn't around, I think they're in good shape. Obviously, they still have KD. They have Harden. So I think the Nets are looking pretty good. Really, the most important thing for the Nets is, aside from the Kyrie thing, is that they just need to stay healthy. So 56.5 wins, is that manageable? Will they be able to get between 55 or 56 wins? Or excuse me, between 56 and 57 wins, excuse me. Are the Nets going to be able to do that? I think it's manageable, but I'm actually going to go a little bit under on that. I think that they're going to get somewhere around 52 wins. So that is my prediction for the Nets. But I think that they're obviously going to be a contender with or without Kyrie, and I think that they're going to get far in the playoffs. I'm going to say that they're going to get to about the Eastern Conference Finals, if not the Finals. But they definitely have a great chance at winning the championship. You know, they're right up there. They're basically the favorite to win the championship as of now. So I'm really looking forward to the Nets season. And also, I'm obviously very interested in what they're going to do with the Kyrie situation. Next up, we have the Philadelphia 76ers. They're projected at 51.5 wins. This is another team with quite a kerfuffle. They're dealing with Ben Simmons. So the big question is he staying or leaving? Obviously, if you've kept up with the news, Ben Simmons says he does not want to return to Philly. He was obviously hurt by the words of Doc Rivers when they got eliminated in the playoffs, when obviously all season long, Doc Rivers was supporting Ben. He was saying that he is definitely a championship-type player, one of the best players, that they can win a championship with him as point guard. But then when they got eliminated, they asked him again, do you think that this team can win with Ben Simmons as the point guard? And Doc Rivers basically said, I don't know. So that obviously hurt Ben Simmons. He does not feel the trust and confidence that he should be getting from, obviously, Doc Rivers. He also got hurt by Joel Embiid. Joel obviously called him out. He said that one of the biggest points of that game that they lost was when he gave up that pretty much wide-open dunk and passed it off to Matisse Thybulle. Joel said that that was the turning point of the game, and that's basically one of the reasons why they lost. So obviously Ben is hurt by Embiid. So he's hurt by basically the two most important people in the organization. Daryl Morey, he has been really adamant that he wants a big package in return for Ben. He's asking for something along the line of at least 3 first round picks, 3 swaps, along with a player or 2. You know, some of the teams to be keeping a lookout there for are the Portland Trailblazers, maybe the Warriors, but I also heard that the Wolves, the Cavs, you know, a couple of teams are really interested in him, but, you know, they're just not willing to give up that equity that the Sixers are asking for. Obviously, Joel Embiid, his health is really important. If he can stay healthy, I also think that he can be a big MVP candidate. Obviously, with the Ben Simmons thing going, I mean, if Joel can keep this team afloat and make them a top team in the East and make him a contender, he's obviously an MVP candidate. I also think that Tobias Harris needs to step up. He obviously has a huge contract. So they need him to, you know, they need him to contribute more. I mean, he's been solid, but, you know, to be that max player, he needs to get in there, especially with the whole Ben Simmons thing. You know, now's his time to shine. You know, Ben Simmons isn't going to be around, so they're really going to need a lot more scoring. Joel Embiid and Seth Curry cannot be the only scorers. So Tobias really needs to step up. Also, Dwight Howard is no longer on the Sixers. It's Andre Drummond, which if anyone was watching the preseason, Andre Drummond did look a little bit out of shape. He did not look very good on the floor. So in my opinion, it's a bit of a downgrade. But 51.5 wins for Philly, I think that's doable. You know, if anything, I think it's going to be right around that 50 mark. So I think that that is a good number. Next up, we have the Boston Celtics. They are projected at 45.5 wins. You know, they've made some changes, you know, but also Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are possibly the best duo under 25 years old. You know, great scoring. you know, a lot of energy. They can defend. I mean, they're just a great duo. And who knows, Jaylen Brown can even be better than he was last year. And last year he was incredible. Obviously, Tatum, he's a young player that everyone keeps an eye out. Everyone says that he can be an MVP type player. So let's see if this is the year that he can do it. Also, they have a new coach in Ime Udoka. Brad Stevens is in the front office, which I think is a good thing. You know, the Celtics, I do think that they need a new voice. You know, after a while, you can kind of block out that the same voice in your head over and over and over and having the same coach. So I think some new blood would be good for the Celtics. So I think that is also a plus. Also, no more Kemba. In return, they did get Al Horford. I think Al Horford, you know, he's obviously older, but I think he is going to be very serviceable. He's obviously one of those bigs that is just really effective in many ways. You know, he can get some rebound. He's a good defender, great passer. He can hit some shots. So I think he's going to be really good for those young guys in Tatum, Brown. Dennis Schroeder, they also got him at a steal at $6 million. He obviously was not able to re-sign with the Lakers. He turned down about that $85 million deal, which I'm sure he is hating himself for. So he did only sign for that $6 million minimum with Boston, but I think he's going to be really good. Now, the only thing with that is, obviously, Schroeder is going to be wanting to get paid next season. So is that going to interfere with the Celtics? Obviously, when you want to get paid, you really want to play at your best, which means that Schroeder might be playing a little too hard. He might be taking a couple too many shots. You know, so that can maybe be a negative, but overall, I think it's going to be good. I think that they have a much better team than last year. Last year, they were not good. Last year, they were disappointing, I'll say. I think they're going to look good. Also, I think Ime Udoka is going to be really good because he's going to bring that toughness as a coach. Last year, they were very soft. I think that was one of the biggest negatives in the Celtics last season. So I think that Ime Udoka is going to bring in some, you know, nice tenacity into that locker room. Also, Robert Williams' breakout season. You know, last year he wasn't able to stay on the floor, you know, very consistently. But when he was on the floor, he was one of the highest, you know, PER players in the league. He was in the top 10 all season, pretty much. You know, he can obviously, you know, get you some rebounds. He's really, really tenacious down there. You know, he can block some shots. So I think that this could be a really good year for Robert Williams. So I think the Celtics are looking good, and at 45.5 wins, I think that's a good number, but I think that they can be better. I think that they're going to be around that 48 to 50 mark. So that's good for them. Next up, we have the New York Knicks. They are projected at around 41.5 wins. Now, the Knicks, obviously, they had a breakout year last year. They were pretty much the Cinderella story of the league. They were able to make the playoffs. Julius Randle was incredible. The Knicks, they have Kemba Walker now, who obviously is not going to be the same Kemba, or who knows, maybe he will be, which would be an incredible steal for the Knicks. Evan Fournier was added to the roster. So, you know, they already got some really nice perimeter players that they added, players who can make shots, players who can play make. So I think it's really, really going to be good and a great addition for the Knicks. They also have good depth. RJ Barrett breakout season, possibly. Also, keep a lookout for them. They're, you know, they've been in talks, well, rumors on wanting to get Damian Lillard. So, but obviously, if Damian Lillard is acquired, they're obviously going to have to trade something back, which I would say is probably going to be revolved around RJ Barrett. But let's not jump the gun yet. So, you know, I think that the Knicks are good. You know, I don't think they're a contender, obviously, but at 41.5 wins, I think that's doable. I think that they're going to get probably around 44 wins, something like that. Next, we have the Toronto Raptors, projected at 36.5 wins. Now, some things to keep an eye out on are Goran Dragic. He was acquired. There are rumors that he did not want to be in Toronto, that he wanted to actually be moved to Dallas so that he can be with his countryman, Luka Doncic. So, you know, maybe he may eventually be in Dallas at some time, by sometime this year. 36 and a half wins, though, that's a pretty low mark. I mean, at least compared to how we've been seeing them play, you know, in the last couple years. Pascal Siakam has had troubles. Something to keep an eye out for is he does have a labrum injury, which when asked, the front office says that he is going to miss about a good medium-sized chunk of the season, if you know what that means. I don't. A good medium-sized chunk of the season, I would say, is probably around 25 to 30 games, which, you know, obviously Pascal Siakam is basically the man in Toronto. So if they don't have their man, that is not going to be good news, and getting that 36 and a half win mark is going to be pretty hard, let alone the playoffs. But we do have to trust in Masai Ujiri and Nick Nurse. You know, these guys are incredible at what they do. So I think that the Raptors might be secretly good. You know, they might even make the playoffs. Obviously not contenders. I do not see them getting past the first round if they do make the playoffs, but I think that they will make the playoffs. Also, Scottie Barnes, you know, he's a great young rookie. He brings defense, playmaking. He's got nice IQ, passing. So I think he's going to be, you know, a nice addition for them. And I think he's going to be one of the top rookies this season. So 36 and a half wins, I'm going to give them about 38 wins. And I think I'm being pretty optimistic. But like I said, if Pascal Siakam misses, you know, a good chunk of the season, I might have to rethink that. Next, we have the Miami Heat. The Heat are projected at 48 and a half wins. Now, obviously, the Heat acquired Kyle Lowry this offseason. He was offered around a 3-year, $90 million deal. He was asking for 2 years, $50 million, but the Heat, they offered him 3 years, $90 million, to secure him. Lowry and Butler are a good backcourt, obviously a whole lot of defense. The number one question is, can Kyle Lowry stay healthy? Will Jimmy Butler be able to be a big star throughout the whole season? He was awesome last season. Bam Adebayo may be a, you know, bigger breakout. And I say bigger because obviously he's already a great player. He's already had a breakout season in the past. But maybe he can have a even bigger little mini breakout, you know. Also, Tyler Hero wild card. Is he going to be good this season? Obviously, 2 years ago, he was incredible in the bubble. And last season, he was quite disappointing. Although, here in the preseason, he was one of the top scorers. Now, obviously, that is preseason. But he did look dang good. Also, like I said, he is a wild card. So if he's not looking good, the Heat can use Tyler Hero as a trade asset. And there are a lot of teams out there that like Tyler Hero. So, you know, maybe the Heat can get something good in return and they can add that to their roster. And then they can still be good. Tyler Hero is definitely a wild card. Something to also consider as well is Victor Oladipo. Let's not forget he's on the team. Now, he is injured, but when he gets, you know, when he gets healthy, you know, if he can be solid, at least he's another great addition to the roster. The Heat, they have good, obviously great defense, on top of their, you know, Butler, Lowry, Adebayo. On top of them, they have Markieff Morris. They got PJ Tucker to add. So, you know, really great. This is a scary team defensively. The only thing is, do they have enough scoring? Obviously, Miami has been, they haven't been a high-scoring team for some years now, but let's keep an eye on them. out on them, but I think that the biggest thing for them is their health. Can they stay healthy? If they can stay healthy, I think that they're a scary team, and 48.5 wins, book it. I am going to say that they're going to have 52 wins. That is going to be my guess, 52. Next up, we have the Atlanta Hawks. They are projected at 47.5 wins. Now, Atlanta obviously were an incredible story last season. They got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. Trae Young was incredible, along with guys like Kevin Huerter. John Collins was awesome. So they have a great team. Also, they have the returns of DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. Now, we obviously all saw what Cam Reddish did in the playoffs last season. The last couple games, he was available. He just looked so confident. He was making it seem like every shot. So, the Hawks were already a really deep team, and they already had great scoring. But with Cam Reddish and DeAndre Hunter, I think that they're going to look really good. They, like I said, they have a lot of depth, so they have flexibility to play small ball and big ball. So, they can really match up with almost pretty much every team in the NBA. So that is a big factor. Now, one thing to keep an eye out for regarding Trae Young is the new referee play calling. Obviously, they're not going to allow players to jump into defenders, which is something that obviously Trae Young does. Although Trae Young is obviously not the only one. Trae Young is probably one of the most notable ones in doing that. Others are like guys like Luka Doncic, James Harden. But this team has a lot of depth, like I said. Obviously, Trae Young, they have Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, Danilo Gallinari, Cam Reddish, Lou Williams, John Collins, Clint Capella, Josh Okongwu. I think this is probably the deepest team in the league. So 47.5 wins, book it. I am going to say that they're going to get 56 wins. That's my guess. I'm going to say that they're going to get 56 wins. So obviously I have a lot of confidence in this team. Next up, we have the Charlotte Hornets. They are projected at 37.5 wins. Now, the obvious thing to keep an eye out for in regards to the Hornets, it is LaMelo Ball. LaMelo Ball was obviously awesome last season. He was the rookie of the year, but he didn't, but he did get injured. But still, he was incredible, great passing. He shot great compared to what I was expecting. I thought he was going to shoot like 20%. Because of how I saw him shooting in Australia and other places, he just did not look like a good shooter, but he actually impressed me last season. So obviously we have to keep an eye out on them. I think that they're going to be a really fun team. I think that they're going to be the NBA League Pass team. They're just really fun to watch, really great young players. A lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, so I think that they're going to be a great, fun team to watch. Obviously, Gordon Hayward, he needs to stay healthy for them to, make a nice run. He's obviously been plagued with injuries since Boston. So hopefully he can, stay afloat there. Mason Plumlee was a nice addition. The Hornets last season, they had guys like Cody Zeller and Bismack Biyombo. I think that Mason Plumlee is a nice upgrade at that position for them. So I think that, he's going to be great. Also, they added Kelly Oubre. So he's going to be a nice addition at the wing. So I think this team improved. I don't think that they're a contender, obviously. But 37.5 wins, I think that's very doable. I'm going to say that they're going to get 41 wins. That is my guess. Next up, we have the Washington Wizards, projected at 34.5 wins. Now, they did get guys like Spencer Dinwiddie. So, they did lose Russ, but Spencer Dinwiddie's a good player. He can shoot. He can pass. I think he's going to be really good. He's an underrated rebounder, so I think it's going to be great from that standpoint. They also got guys like Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. For Russell Westbrook, so I think that those players are going to be a nice addition. Obviously, we have the questions with Bradley Beal. You know, Bradley Beal, if he's eligible to sign an extension as of October. So if he signs an extension this season with the Wizards, he can sign a four-year, $180 million deal. But if he stays with the Wizards and he decides to sign an extension next offseason, so basically next season, he can sign a five-year, $242 million extension. So obviously, I'm going to say that Bradley Beal is going to want to stay on the team. So I don't think that that is going to be a question in regards to him staying at least for this year. But they also have good shooting. They have, obviously, Bradley Beal, Spencer Dinwiddie. They have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Kuzma can hit shots. Corey Kispert, the rookie. Davis Bertans. I mean, they have really good shooting. So, you know, I think that they're an underrated team. I think that they're probably going to be around a 7th or 8th seed. But still, you know, I think that they're gonna have a nice season. So, 34.5 wins, book it. I am going to say that they are going to get about 42 wins. Next up, we have the Orlando Magic, projected at 21.5 wins. This is probably the worst team, maybe in the whole league, but definitely the East. Just a weird, weird roster. I mean, they have four centers, point guard uncertainty in regards of, you know, Markel Fultz, Cole Anthony. Now that Jalen Suggs is here, what are they going to do with there? I think that Cole Anthony is going to be a little bit mad that Jalen Suggs is going to be taking more of his playing time. Obviously, Fultz. So I think that it's just going to be complicated in regards to point guards and centers. They have a lot of centers. But good thing is they finally hit the reset button last season, you know, dealing out, you know, Fournier and Aaron Gordon. So they're finally in rebuild mode. So Magic, 21.5 wins. I'm going to decline it. I'm going to say that they're going to get 19 wins. That is my guess. So they are not going to be a good team, but that is good for them because they are rebuilding, so they want to get good draft picks. Next up, we have the Milwaukee Bucks. They are projected at 55.5 wins. You know, obviously, they are the champions. Giannis Antetokounmpo was incredible last season in the playoffs. He was a monster, unstoppable. He was a man on a mission, and he completed that mission with flying colors. You know, and I think, you know, Giannis figured something out last season in the playoffs. In that series against the Nets, something took over Giannis where everything clicked. He knew how to become the man. And I think that, you know, when something clicks with players and they become the man, I think that they keep that and they just keep rolling with it. And I think that that's going to be Giannis. So, you know, definitely Giannis is going to be an MVP candidate. Also Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. I think that they're going to be even better than last year. And I think that they're going to be nice and loose, you know, because they did play in the Olympics. So, you know, they carried that through. So, you know, they're going to be really good. Also, Dante DiVincenzo is back. So he is going to be a nice, tough guard for them. And also, they didn't lose anyone significant other than P.J. Tucker. But, you know, P.J. Tucker didn't bring any, you know, he didn't bring any scoring. He did bring nice defense, but other than that, so I don't think that they have anything to worry about in that regard. I think that they're going to be really good. Bobby Portis resigned. So I think that they're going to be really nice, and I think that they are definitely doable at 55.5 wins, so book it. I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to have 62 wins. That is my prediction. The Bucks are going to have 62 wins, so they are the first team that I am projecting with over 60 wins. So let's go ahead and take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Okay, and we are back. So next we have the Indiana Pacers projected at 42.5 wins. Now the Pacers, they have a new coach in Rick Carlisle. Their coach last season, I mean, it was just so much chaos with him. None of the players liked him. Like I said, just a lot of chaos, and it was definitely, with that alone, it was an improvement to get him out. And then getting a great coach in Rick Carlisle, who obviously got the Dallas Mavericks a championship, I think he's going to be really good for them, and they're really going to improve just with that. Now, Caris LeVert, he does have a broken bone in his back. And also extension questions are going to start popping up because he is going to become eligible very soon, next season. So they need to figure out what to do with there, which is kind of a scary topic because, you know, he keeps getting injured. He's obviously had other health questions that prevented him from playing. He is better, but like I said, he is injury prone. So that is a problem. Although when he is on the court, he is a very good player. So that is going to be interesting to see. Also, the Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner combo, I don't know, I'm iffy on that. Obviously Miles Turner has been in trade talks for it seems like the last 3 years, maybe more. Now, if they do trade him, I think that they can get a really nice package in return. So let's see, but obviously Domantas Sabonis is an incredible player. He's one of my favorite bigs. He is just so versatile. So I think that they're really good on that standpoint. Obviously Malcolm Brogdon, he's a really, really, really solid player, but again, he does have some injury questions sometimes. But overall, I think the Pacers are going to be a fun team to watch. And I think that, at 42.5 wins, I think that is very doable. Book it. I'm going to give him about 46 wins. I'm going to give him 46 wins for the Pacers. Next, we have the Bulls, projected at 43.5 wins. Okay. First off, where are the Bulls going to get defense from? They have zero defense. Apart from Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, just no defense. Now, like I said, Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso, they were nice pickups. I think Lonzo was a great addition. Lonzo is just easy to play with. He's going to get these guys a lot of open shots. He's going to help a lot in transition, and he's a good defender. And not only that, but Lonzo has really improved from three. So he's really become a super solid three-point shooter. So that's very good. Another thing that they did here in the offseason was DeMar DeRozan. They signed him to a three-year, $82 million deal. I hate this deal. I do like DeMar DeRozan. Obviously, he's a good player. He's a good shooter. He does not shoot three-pointers, and he does not defend. And three-year, $82 million, that is just expensive for a guy who, you know, not a lot of teams were really seeking him. So paying him that much, I don't know about that. Also, why did they pay them that much? Who were they competing against in signing him? You know, from what I saw, the Lakers were the only other team that were seriously going after him. And after getting Russell Westbrook, they didn't have the money to offer DeMar DeRozan. So why did the Bulls pay him this much money? It just makes no sense. And also, I don't know if he's a good fit with Zach LaVine, especially from the standpoint that the Bulls have to keep Zach LaVine happy. And, because Zach LaVine, he becomes a free agent next offseason. Obviously, the Bulls are going to be looking at re-signing him. But, you know, if they don't keep Zach LaVine happy, will he re-sign? And I don't know if DeMar DeRozan is a good match with him because, obviously, DeMar is going to take some of his shots. He's going to, you know, handle the ball. So I don't know if he is a good fit. And at the end of the day, who is going to take the shot, Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan? Now, DeMar DeRozan has proved himself to be a super clutch player. But is Zach LaVine going to be okay with him not taking the shot? Nick Vucevic is also a really good player, obviously, on the Bulls, acquired last season. But again, no defense. And a lot of teams are going to be looking to get the switch with Vucevic, which is going to cause problems. And like I said, just no defense on this team. So it's just going to be really interesting to see. But apart from that, I think that they're going to be really competitive. And I think that the Bulls are going to be a really fun team to watch. So they are projected at 43.5 wins. I'm going to go ahead and book it. I'm going to say that they're going to get around 47 to 48 wins. Next up, we have the Cleveland Cavaliers, projected at 27.5 wins. Now, the Cavs are not going to be a very good team, but they're going to be really fun to watch. I actually think that they're going to be really competitive. Now, they have Evan Mobley, who is an incredible player. I mean, just so athletic. He's going to get a lot of easy shots. Points. I just love Evan Mobley, and I think he's going to be possibly the rookie of the year. Another thing that the Cavs need to find out, what are they going to do with Kevin Love? I mean, Kevin Love has just become awful. I think his career is pretty much over. He did sign that $120 million deal with the Cavs a couple years ago. But man, Kevin Love, I mean, is he even tradable? When's the last time he actually tried on the court? Now, last season, I think everyone saw that video where he was inbounding the ball and he was throwing a fit. And who wants a player like that on their team? And not only that, if you're another team and you're seeing Kevin Love act this way, why would you want this guy? He said he was ready. He wanted to go to the Olympics. As soon as he got to the Olympics, he was not in shape. And they basically got rid of him real quick. Now, Kevin Love was a two-time All-NBA second team in his peak. At some points, he was even MVP candidates throughout a couple seasons. So he was a great player, but man, that's in the past. Kevin Love, I think, like I said, his career is over. So we really have to just keep an eye out on what the Cavs are going to do. Is he going to get bought out? I don't think Kevin Love is going to, want to get bought out. Like I said, his career is over, so I don't think he's going to get paid much by another team. So he's going to want to keep all his money. So we got to figure out, or we got to see there, what they do with Kevin Love. Also, Colin Sexton, obviously he's been in trade talks as well. I was almost sure that, he was going to be on another team by the beginning of this season. It did not happen, but the Cavs are clearly still looking for a way to ship Colin Sexton out. So, the Sexton mix, I don't think it's a good fit. The Cavs don't think it's a good fit, hence them trying to trade Colin Sexton. But they are projected at 27.5 wins, and I am going to go ahead and book it. I'm going to give them about 28, 29 wins. So not much more, but I think that they're going to be a competitive team. And finally, the last team that we have to talk about are the Detroit Pistons. They are projected at 23.5 wins. Obviously, this is a team in rebuild mode. They got Cade Cunningham, who I also think is a potential rookie of the year. Sadiq Bey, he was incredible last season. A really fun young player to watch. So they have solid building blocks, but they are the second youngest roster in the NBA. But again, this is a rebuilding team. They are going to lose a lot. But this season for them is all about playing their young guys, having them make their mistakes now in their career and learn from them. So they are projected at 23.5 wins. Like I said, I am going to go ahead and decline it. I'm going to give them about 21, maybe 22 wins, nothing more than that. But on the bright side for the Pistons, like I said, they do have Cade Cunningham, and I think he's going to be really fun to watch. He looks like an incredible leader, great defender, great passer. hit shots. I think he's going to be really good. So, you know, even though they're going to be a bad team, I think that they're going to be fun to watch. But yeah, about 21, maybe 22 wins is what I'd give them. Okay, so like I said, that was the last team to do. So this concludes part one. Now, like I said, today is Sunday, so part two will be coming out Monday night. So by Tuesday, you will be able to hear part two. And then Wednesday finally begins the NBA season. I'm really actually excited to do part two. I really, you know, my team is in the Western Conference. I always find the Western Conference to be really, a really fun conference with great teams. Pretty much every team is competitive. So I'm really looking forward to do part two, but also guys, I am really, really happy to finally be back. And I'm even more happy that the NBA season is about to start. Now, since the NBA season is about to start, I just want to let you guys know that I will be posting an episode, maybe two every week. Depends on how it's going. Now, obviously if big news happens, I will be posting emergency pods and stuff like that. So, you know, it'll be between one and two episodes. I'm still trying to decide, but I will let you know in the future, you know, as the season progresses, I will give you a definite schedule as to how the episodes are going to go on. But anyways, like I said, this concludes part one. I will speak to you guys again on Monday night, Tuesday morning with part two, including the Western Conference. I will talk about them. So yeah, this is going to be a really fun season, guys. I'm really looking forward to it. Once again, I am your host, Chaba Baja. Please hit me up on Twitter at the Big Shot Pod. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, please go ahead and you know, message us, just add us, whatever you want to do. Just please hit us up. And yeah. Guys, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm so excited to be back. And once again, I am your host, Chaba Baja, and thank you for listening to the Big Shot Pod. Thanks, guys. Have a good night.